Who's the man who's able to walk a straight line while being watched by an authority figure? It's a junkie. It's a drunk. It's a compulsive overeater. No, it's Sober Man. Welcome to Sober Man Podcast, formerly Al Berman, live from a studio apartment. This is episode 117. How you doing, folks? How's everybody doing, huh? Huh? How are you? Huh? It's not just a rhetorical question. I'm waiting for your response. I'm doing something I have never done before while recording a podcast. I'm drinking coffee. I'm drinking a cup of coffee. Now, you're saying, Al, why are you mentioning that? What does that mean? Why do you have to say that? Well, because I've never done that before. And I know, I usually don't drink anything. I usually just keep talking. I let my mouth dry to a crisp. And then I drink something. But Sunday afternoon, hold on. Sunday afternoon. So the reason I'm mentioning about the coffee is because I'm going to be sipping throughout the podcast probably. And I hope it doesn't bother anybody. And so that's that. So please enjoy the sipping. Please enjoy the sipping on my podcast. Please enjoy it. What was I going to say? Okay, update on the iTunes Store debacle. Dwayne is actually hard at work figuring out how to get me into the iTunes Store. And now I have to say something that I know that there's many podcasts in the iTunes Store. There's many people. There's many products in the iTunes Store. And I was feeling a little bit ashamed. Like I'm such a, I'm not technologically, whatever. I'm not technologically whatever. I don't know much about technology. I don't come from that era, okay? All right? So, but basically, it turns out that this iTunes Store stuff is pretty difficult because, one of the guys that did my edits for my podcast, his whole business is websites. But he doesn't do, this is the first entertainment website he ever did. So he does restaurants and things like that. So he took a look at the iTunes thing. He goes, I've never done that before. Sent me to somebody else who I never heard back from. So then I turned to Dwayne, and Dwayne was like, I don't do this, but I think maybe I can find somebody. And then Dwayne researched it and said, I think I figured it out. So I figured I'd let him run with it and see what we come up with. But it turns out it's really complicated. It's really, really friggin' complicated. It's not like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a 4, 9, 7, 6, 8. That's what it is. So hopefully soon I'll be in the iTunes Store, and then you can post reviews, and then I can be discovered through that avenue in terms of people discovering my Soberman podcast. I don't mean like discover me like I'm a starlet, okay? But I'm just saying, that it would be nice to get more people to hear this podcast and know that I am a viable, I'm a viable podcaster. I'm a viable person who podcasts, and this is the era of podcasting. Everybody's got a podcast. And even when I started, which is almost 4 years ago, almost everybody had a podcast then, and now everybody actually does have one. I'm expecting my dad to tell me he has a podcast. That's never going to happen. He doesn't even have an email, let alone a podcast. So very interesting week. I get a phone call on my cell phone. The other day, it was when I woke up. There was a voicemail from some lady named Jasmine. Hello, this is Jasmine from GSB. We'd like to talk to you about regarding a potential position. And I'm like, who? What? What? Who? Who? What am I, an owl? So, you know, I call back, and first I get a voicemail. Hi, this is Jasmine at GFC, please leave a message. So I didn't leave a message. I call back again. She answered, oh, no, this is Jasmine. I go, Jasmine, you left me a message? Oh, yes. And she starts to tell me about, I ask her, where'd you get my number from? She goes, well, I don't know, it was in my database here. Oh, it was in your database. Well, what kind of position are we talking about? Well, we are a financial company, and it's very, you know, I'd rather meet in person to talk to you about this. That was my spoon, in case anybody heard that, my spoon. I'd rather wait and meet you in person to tell you about it. You know, that's always to me, a red flag when somebody doesn't just give you, like, a thumbnail, nutshell thing like, oh, well, we sell rags, and I want to talk to you about the rag business. So I go, oh, I said, and where are you located? She goes, I'm in Glendale. Oh, you're in Glendale. And so I remember another girl I met, like, and I might have talked about this in the podcast, like, last year. Or, yeah, I believe it was last year. Another girl, I met a girl, I was at Gelson's, by the bakery, and a very, very smoking hot, kind of Russian Armenian kind of woman, very friendly, which was again a red flag. When a smoking hot woman is very friendly, you know there's something's going on. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but I had to say it. But anyway, she was talking to the girl, a girl behind the counter, about her business and asking her, "Would you like to make more money?" You know, and then she started talking to me, and then she got my phone number because, you know, I'm a hooah. So I remember when she called me up and tried to get me to come to her office. I would go, well, wait a minute. I mean, I don't want to go to an office. That means I got to put on office clothes and, you know, I said to her, can I wear my shorts at the office? She goes, well, it is a business. I know, but what do you want? Are you looking for my business? I don't even know what you're talking about here. So she, well, it's, you know, it's a way to make money, to make more money. You can learn to make, you know. And I go, well, I'm doing fairly decently. It's not that I don't want to make more money. I just, you know, my instincts are telling me, I didn't tell her this, you're not the avenue for me to make more money. So the reason I bring that up is because this lady, Jasmine, what she was saying was very reminiscent of what this other woman was saying. So I mentioned to her, do you know, we'll call it Kalita. Do you know Kalita? Because I met another girl named Kalita who worked there, I believe worked for a company like yours. She goes, no, there's no Kalita here. So I go, oh, okay. I'm really, you know, not interested. You know, and thank you very much. And I said to her, something about like, oh, no, she asked me if, do you know anybody else that wants to do this, could possibly do this? I go, what kind of this has got to be some kind of multi-level marketing thing. Where it's like the only qualifications is that you're breathing. And so I said, no. So on my phone, I still had Kalita's number. Because when I gave her my number, she gave me her number. And so I texted her. And I called her. I take that back. I called her. And she answered, and I said to her, hey, Kalita, you know, I met you a while ago. She was, oh, yes, yes, you know, same kind of voice. Oh, yes, I remember, how are you? And I go, how's it going with your business? Oh, very good, I no longer work at the bank. I said, I never knew you worked in the bank. Oh, I work doing this full time. And I said to her, so I tell her about this Jasmine lady. She goes, and she says, you don't work in her office. She goes, well, we have several offices. But she's in Glendale. We have several offices in Glendale. What kind of a business is this? What are you, like a Starbucks? Starbucks of the financial world? I don't really get it. So, again, she asked me she said, if you ever want to get together for coffee, we could talk about this. And I was like, all right, you know, but I'm probably not interested. But, you know, maybe I would get together for coffee just to look at you. I didn't say that. Anyway, so, you know, and basically that was it. It's like this company, they call people up. We have a position. We want you to, but what the position is, I bet you, is that they're going to ask you to make a list of all your friends and family, and you're going to hit them up for whatever the hell they're selling. You know, so whatever it is, it's got to do with some kind of financial thing. It's probably some kind of investment thing. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm not buying, folks. Okay? I'm not buying. So that's that. So I saw an interesting documentary on Netflix called Inequality for All. The guy who made it, who was the host of it, was the secretary of, what is it, Secretary of Commerce for Clinton? Is there a Secretary of Commerce? He was an old buddy of Clinton's, and he was, they were both Rhodes Scholars, and he is a, you know, very much an economy, into the economy. And it was a very interesting movie because he talked about the economy. You know, it's all common sense stuff. You know, basically the middle class, the wages for the middle class kind of leveled out in the 70s and hasn't gone up. And the middle class, and they had really one really wealthy guy on who talked about, like, you know, he's willing to do whatever it takes to build up the middle class, because he goes, hey, you know what, you can give all the breaks to the super rich, which is fine. I'm not against the super rich. I'm just saying that a super wealthy guy can only buy so many houses, so many cars, eat so many dinners out. But you got to get the middle class going, because they're the ones that actually spend the money. They spend the money. So I'm telling you, people, see the movie. It was very interesting, very informative. And it, you know, it's because it satisfied for me I don't consider myself to be a brainiac here. And when it comes to the economy or politics, I'm in the dark a lot of the times. You know, I'm not somebody who's just like, hey, this is the way it is, okay? But it just seemed like very common sense to me. It just seemed like this is what I always thought, you know? But they always make it seem like, oh, it's very, very, very complicated. Very complicated. You have to put the 3 over there and the 4 over there. And the 6 has to be from somewhere else. The 9 is on back order. It's just, anyway, I'm recommending that movie. I enjoyed it. He's a character. He's a very short guy. Had some kind of, he suffered as some kind of growth thing that didn't happen for him. But very cool, very cool guy. Kind of guy that I think I'd get along with if I personally knew him. I think him and I would get along. I think we could be friends. As a matter of fact, I want to be friends with him. I want to be friends with you too. All right. So, I've been seeing, there's a lot of weird stuff on the internet lately, on the news, predicting, you know, like the economy, predicting the economy is going to go and the dollar is going to completely crash. There's another one where some scientists were talking about some massive earthquake was going to come I won't even mention the part of the country. I just don't want to say it, you know, in a certain part of the country. It's going to come. It's going to wipe out all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying any of this stuff could not happen. But I don't like this fear-monger. I don't like fear-mongering. I don't like things that are reported and then it puts people into fear. And case in point, remember Y2K? Oh, the build-up to that was gorgeous. Oh, the build-up to Y2K was fantastically gorgeous. I mean, I thought I never bought into it because it was like at least a couple years. Books were written. You know, oh, the computers, the mainframe computers have not, they don't, we're not, never programmed to go past the year 2000. So once it hits, all right, it's 1999, it goes to the next, it'll go back to zero and everything will go, the caveman will reemerge. And I'll never forget, I went to a New Year's Eve party that night. I had made sure I had like $1,000 in cash hidden in my house. you know, even though I wasn't buying into it, I thought, just in case the banks completely fold up, I'll have some worthless cash on hand. And I remember being at this New Year's Eve party, and they were showing, you know, overseas where it was becoming the New Year first. And I'm like going, well, hey, look, they're having a New Year, and they got lights. I guess we're good. And then everybody just kind of forgot about it. All right, forget about it. Forget about it. The next thing after that was 2012. We were all supposed to go into another dimension or something. And I guess my point here is that, yeah, you know, things happen. We're having way too many shootings, mass shootings. I don't want to get into that, but they're generally, we don't get warnings for those. You don't go like, nobody's saying, hey, that guy over there, the lone wolf guy over there, lone person, you know, the loner, he's probably going to kill a bunch of people in a movie theater or something like that. No, it just, these things happen. Or, you know, like 9/11, earthquakes, you know, I've been through two pretty big earthquakes in my day. And I like the little earthquakes, I've said before. They're fun. They're kind of like a little ride at an amusement park. But the big ones, not fun. Not fun at all. And I say that with all due respect to any earthquakes that are thinking of about coming here or going anywhere. Okay. A little sip of coffee there. Okay, AT&T. I'm with AT&T. I've talked about AT&T on my podcast before. I was thinking about changing over at one point, like recently, but I just did not. It was just kind of a pain in the butt to do it. I just felt like, you know, I don't want to. I'll just stay with them. Okay, fine. Now they got a new thing. They used to call you when your bill was overdue. I used to have a joke in my act about the bill collector from AT&T calling me. I won't do the joke now, but I did it for a long time. And I'm not to say I won't do it again, but it's an old joke. And but the other day I get a call, and they're actually, yeah, it was a recording. They were telling me that just to let you, just a reminder that you have a bill due soon. A bill due, like they're telling you now, there's no rest here. It's just like there's no, you know, they don't even wait for you to go to pay the bill on the due date or to even be a little bit overdue. They must be in trouble. They must be in trouble if they are, you know, calling you up to tell you that your bill will be due very soon. And that's it. I don't want to get too worked up over that. Okay. I want to talk about the cravings for sweets. Now, I have, since about early mid-March, have reduced my sugar intake so much. So, I mean, I have very little of it. And occasionally, I've had a little bit of ice cream. I try to not eat, you know, I don't like to binge on sugar. I don't want to eat too much sugar grams. I'm just trying to, because I know it's not good for you, okay? And I'm at the point in life, you know, you get to a certain age, and I won't even mention the age because of all the ageism. You know, like I said before, my fake age in Hollywood is now too old. Okay. So, but I went to a nice, fancy, schmancy dinner the other day. Well, actually, it was a luncheon. And it was a highfalutin, fancy schmancy, and I had a great little salad, and then I had this steak. It was a filet mignon that was so good. It was like, oh, it was like fantastic. And for dessert, I had a nice size piece of chocolate cake, because I knew this was, we had a pre-order. It was kind of a thing where you pre-order it. So I knew it was going to be there, and sometimes when I pre-ordered, you know, desserts like that, in situations like that, I have given the dessert away or not eaten it, whatever. But I decided I was going to have the chocolate cake, and it was, folks, it was delicious, okay? The chocolate cake was so good, I can't even tell you how good it was. I can't tell you. I'm telling you, it was great. And the problem is not that moment. The problem is the after moments. Then I started to think. Then it opens up a thing in my mind. Oh, maybe I'll have ice cream later. Maybe I'll have this later. Maybe I'll have that later. Well, it turns out that I haven't had any more sweets. So this was Wednesday. I had it today, Sunday. What I have done, though, is I bought 2 pints of ice cream on 2 different trips to the supermarket. And I have a load of ice cream in my freezer to the point where, in order for me to put any more ice cream in, I'll have to throw some containers out. So why was I buying? Well, because I had that craving. I had the craving, and I was like, wow, this is very interesting. It was interesting to kind of observe the craving. I'm observing it, and I'm not giving into it just yet because I feel like that might be dangerous, because if I give in now, that might set off a chain, more of a chain reaction. So I will have the ice cream, of course, again, but I'm waiting on it. I'm waiting until the cravings quell, as the Jews would say, the cravings fell. I was felling for the cravings, and I'm just going to wait. I'm going to kind of wait, because I'm actually enjoying not eating that much sugar, you know, and I think it's bringing up some anxiety issues, which I'm working on, so because I don't have any sugar to cover my anxiety. All right, last but not least, don't ever put too much oil in your car, and I'll tell you what happened. Well, I was going to that luncheon the other day, and I pulled up to the valet, and my engine light goes on. And my engine light had been on a couple months ago, and I went to my mechanic, and one of the sensors were off. He fixed it. Everything was fine. Well, now the engine light's back on. So I call him up, and he says, call me when you get home. And I do the luncheon thing, and then I go on the way home. I stop off at a store to buy some stuff. And now this is kind of racist of me, I believe. There's a Mexican guy that works there, a nice guy, like a janitor. And I said to him, I kind of kid around with him. And I asked him if he knew anything about cars. Because, I guess I did that because he was Mexican or something. I felt like, well, he seemed like, you know, a lot of Mexican people know about cars. And I don't mean this in any disrespectful way. I'm just saying. My mechanic is not Mexican. He's from England. But I just thought, the reason I said that, I said to him, well, my engine light's on. I'm wondering if I'm low on oil. And I have a hard time. I just don't know which line sometimes to look at. It's confusing to me. So he goes, yeah, I can do it. So comes out, checks it. He goes, oh, yeah, you're down 2 quarts. Really? I'm down 2 quarts. Wow. Holy mackerel. That's amazing. I don't know. How can I be down 2 quarts? I mean, I'm not seeing any leakage. I'm not seeing any. It's not burning. Oh, whatever. So I'm driving home, and I stop at AutoZone. AutoZone, where they sell you all kinds of stuff for your car. And I go in, and I talk to one of the guys that works there, and I say, I think my car needs a couple quarts of oil. Would you mind checking it? And he comes out, and he looks under my hood. He says, the oil goes, yep, you're down 2 quarts. So I go, okay, good enough for me. Bought 2 quarts. He pours it in. I gave my $2 tip, figuring, hey, you help me out. And I go on my way. I go home. I call my mechanic, Steve, from Britain. And I tell him, Steve, yeah, I went to AutoZone and I was down a couple of quarts of oil and I put 2 quarts down. He goes, never listen to what the guys at AutoZone say. Never let them check anything on your car. I go, really? He goes, that's right. He goes, you know, you can do some damage if you put too much oil in your car. I go, oh my God, really? So the next day, I had an appointment with him in the morning. And I bring the car over, and sure enough, he shows me, he goes, look, your oil is all the way up to here. It should be over here. So now I know where it's supposed to be now. So I go, okay. So he had to drain 2 quarts of oil out of my car. Otherwise, it could jam up the spark plugs, and it's just not good. So you know, it's my fault because I, you know, I panicked and I felt like I was doing good by doing what I did, but apparently I wasn't doing any good. And I wasted 2 quarts of oil and a $2 tip. But hey, that's that. All right. Enough of this podcast. That's the episode for today. I'm going to put another song from my band Imitation Life on here. It's called American Standards. Another one of those songs I wrote with the producer manager Frank Beeson, who I mentioned is no longer living. He's no longer alive. And it was one of an idea he had for a song. He came to me, and we wrote this together. And I have, again, am the lead singer on it, as I am in all the songs. And I'm kind of enjoying putting my songs at the end of the podcast here. So thank you to anybody and everybody who's listens to my podcast. Spread the word if you wish. Hopefully, I've been saying this for 4 years. Hopefully, I'll be in the iTunes store soon. And that's that. So until next time. Take care, and listen to this song. Give a class from all over the world, winning the hearts of every boy and girl. Rock a Billy Pops with Boogie Boogie and Elvis Guitar. Rolling Stone, Time and Newsweek, Gather Report. Is it Jimmy Donald Donald to keep me afraid? Or watching the movies in the heat of the night? Give me a feel, creamy like gold and yellow. We want American standards. We want the best that you owe. We want American standards. We want to set the soul. So let's figure out what they see. Just do the trips all the way.